Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonnewell with Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, and a happy party Friday. Everybody,
yes, it's
party Friday. So today it's just going to be us. No guests today
because
there's so much to talk about.
You.
Well, that's what I mean, all of us. So if you want to talk, feel free to either raise your hand or just unmute yourself and go ahead and talk.
Call in. Give them the number, Julie.
888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. So I wanted to start off with the whole Trump-Musk feud. It kind of reminds me of Iron Man, when Iron Man and Captain America got in a fight in the Avengers series. You know, you hated to see it happen.
Well, to me, I feel like I'm one of the soldiers on the Plains of Jericho. Got my shield, I got my sword or my spear, and I'm chanting rah, 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 and the two leaders of us and the other side are all the thousands of bad pal, you know, whatever they are, enemies and so forth. And our two generals start, you know, getting in a fight and scrabbling and going, wait a minute, guys, we're in a war here. Can't you take it inside?
Now, Charlene, that's exactly where I was going to go. Charlene is saying it feels fake to me. Charlene, I agree. There's something about it that just sort of seems kabuki theater-ish, kind of contrived about it. I mean, this is my theory, so I want to know what everybody thinks. I can on one hand see where you've got these two kind of alpha males, right? And Musk gets annoyed that Trump is getting rid of his EV mandates and that he, you know, didn't have his NASA guy put in, and that Musk, in Trump's opinion, starts getting just a little bit too big for his britches, and they kind of have a falling out. But what is suspicious to me is how fast it got ugly and how just sort of grade school playgroundish the insults got. You know, I mean, I saw one meme where it was also suspecting that it was kind of a fake one, where Trump and Musk are tweeting on their phones, and Trump goes, "Oh, that's a good one," and Musk goes, "Okay, now call me a retard." Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what it seemed like to me. I don't know if it was that way to anybody else, but it's like I could see them getting into sort of this disagreement, but how quickly it became public and how quickly it escalated into really just kind of juvenile name calling, like Elon Musk saying, "Oh, well, Trump is in the Epstein files," which of course everybody knows if there was anything in the Epstein files that would have hurt Trump, it would have come out long ago. And it was just silly. And these are two kind of smart men. So I think there is an ulterior motive. I think it was contrived. And I'm going to tell you why, what I think the thing is. Obviously, I could be wrong and we can see whatever
really?
James thinks. But I know it hardly ever happens. But I think, okay, so Trump is trying to get his budget bill through. And you've got the Senate usually doing their stupid Senate stuff and grandstanding and all that kind of stuff. And what this has done, though, with Musk coming out against it, it's kind of divided it into two sides, not really rhinos, establishment, neocons, and Trump, but sort of Trump and Musk, right? So if you like the budget bill and you're going to vote yes, you're for Trump. If you don't like the budget bill and you're going to vote no, all of a sudden you're like with Elon Musk. I mean, if you're a rhino senator, there's only probably one thing crazier to you than Donald Trump, and that's Elon Musk. So you certainly don't want to be on the Elon Musk side. And it was interesting, Ted Trimpa, Peter Boyles was texting us this morning, and Ted Trimpa, who's a Democrat strategist,
been on this program many times. I have to get him back.
He says he doesn't think it's going to last very long at all. He says that soon everybody's going to end up finally voting for the budget bill, except for Paul Rand.
Rand Paul.
Oh,
where'd you get that one?
I haven't even
party. All right, started early.
Dyslexia. But I kind of think that's what that might have been part of it, because neither of these men shy away from drama, but this just got juvenile so fast and so rapidly, and then it's backed off so quickly. I just think they did that to say either you're for Trump or you're for Elon Musk. And if you're some of these stupid senators, you're going to be like, well, I'm not really for Elon Musk. I don't want to be on his side. So I don't know. That's my two cents. What do you think?
I wish you were right, Julie. I think you are. You do have two highly juvenile, narcissistic people, and they can't seem to. It's just something about human nature where people can't we all just get along? I mean, all of us are out there. I mean, we kind of go, oh man, Trump and the wall,
Like you said, it's like your parents are fighting.
and then they go, oh, Doge, and it got. We never would have known about how thoroughly corrupt our government is and how worthless it is if it wouldn't been for Doge and the great work Doge did. And now you guys are battling it out in the most juvenile manner humanly possible. I mean,
So you think it's
as
real?
a, well, I hope you're right, but if it, it's I don't think they're going he. We've trashed each other, destroyed things. We've got the Democrats celebrating. Yeah, that's the way to do
Going
it.
to make up, and then the Democrats will be like, oh, darn. But see, Charlene is saying, yeah, grade school, it's just over the top. If they were at odds, they wouldn't be blasting it on social media. That's just kind of what I think.
Donald Trump wouldn't be flashing on social media. That's all he does.
It's to me, it's not that because these are two social media masters, but they started tweeting stupid stuff like Donald Trump says, well, maybe I'll just cancel the Tesla, maybe I'll just cancel the SpaceX contracts. And Elon Musk says, well, maybe I'll just quit building rocket ships. Neither of those things are going to happen, right? And then Elon Musk says, oh, here, boom, what about Jeffrey Epstein, which everyone knows was just stupid. And so it wasn't the fact that they were on social media. It was just the degree of, I just said, it's like grade school or something like that. And then Charlene, does Starlink control the Ukrainian drones? Is the IC operating for the Ukraine? Well, that's a whole other topic. We've got Jacob has been patient, raise his hand. Hey, Jacob, what do you think?
A couple of things. Karine Jean-Pierre, the spokeslady for Biden.
Right.
So anyway, hello.
Yes, we got you. You're
So
okay.
her book comes out this week, and so her book comes out this week, and nobody's listening because Musk and Trump are fighting. Musk and
Yeah.
Trump, I think they're just putting the voters up for a show. And Epstein reminds me of that movie, Schindler's List. Remember how Oscar Schindler, at the very beginning of the movie, went to get his picture done with all the bigwigs of the army so he can get contracts with them? That's all they have on Trump, is that Epstein went up to Trump
Right.
to just to get his picture taken so he could say that he met him. That's all that's about.
Exactly.
So
Well, I know, and even
this will be gone in a week. Yeah.
and you know what? And it's already dying down. Elon Musk has kind of sort of backed off, saying somebody was like, "Well, let's quit fighting." He's like, "Well, you're not wrong." Donald Trump has said, "You know, I'm not going to be talking to Elon Musk." And you know, he's.
Yeah.
I mean, took a little bit of a shot at him, but I think you're right. Well, I know that one of Epstein's lawyers was tweeting yesterday. He's like, "Hey, look, I flat out asked Epstein, do you have, because he doesn't like Trump, right? Is there anything you have, or
Yeah.
there anything anywhere that would hurt Trump?" And he was like, "No, you know." And
But but
well, let
but
me just
but
finish.
yeah, but all he's doing when he says Epstein fell, he's just thinking of whatever he can think of.
Well, that's
You know,
a,
he's saying,
it's
and just,
juvenile, and I mean,
yeah.
he's a brilliant guy. I think if they.
Well, yeah, but he's also autistic, at least somewhere on the scale.
Yeah.
And his father,
It could be real.
said, politics and my son don't go together. And he just, you say, hey.
It could be
Right.
so. Yeah. All right. But Jacob, you tend to go on the more contrived, or they're up to something else.
What?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're losing you there.
Yeah. And
All right.
one last thing, to okay, so Doge, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yep, now we
Okay.
can.
Okay. So anyway, I just on the Doge thing, that's a separate bill. That's going to go to Congress next week and or in 2 weeks. So that's going to go, and Doge, you're going to vote on Doge, and then they're going to vote on that big, beautiful bill.
Right.
So we'll see what happens from there.
We'll see what
Okay.
happens.
Have a good weekend.
All
Bye.
right, thank you. Well, and it's already died down quite a bit.
Not really. It's a lead story everywhere.
What's the lead story? Well,
Well,
no,
it's not a
that
lead story.
not
It's
the lead story. I
a
mean,
quasi-lead
well,
story.
they both seem to be much quieter today, and I don't know if it's real. I mean, if it is real, I think I could see a situation where Trump must just sort of overplayed his hand, and Trump is like, sort of like Steve Bannon did, right? And Trump is like, you know, hey, actually, I'm the president here. And Newt Gingrich had, I thought, a pretty good assessment of the whole thing too. And he was on Jesse Waters yesterday. Thomas, if we could please play the Newt Gingrich soundbite.
End up in a power struggle, which is not really much. It's a public relations struggle. There's no power struggle here. One of them is president. The other one isn't president. And I think that's part of what the media doesn't quite get. And I think it's part of what frustrates Elon Musk is that, you know, he has a fairly high sense of himself and should. I mean, I think he's a brilliant guy. I think the things he's done are remarkable, but they're remarkable as an entrepreneur. You know, Henry Ford didn't end up running the country. Thomas Edison didn't end up running the country. And in fact, in the end, Elon Musk is not going to end up running the country. So I think probably things will calm down over the next 2 or 3 days. Trump has a lot of really serious things to do. And placating Musk is probably down around number 27 on the list.
So Musk says it's all about debt. And this big, beautiful bill doesn't cut it. Does he have any point there?
It's just, well, no, it's baloney. This bill does more to turn the curve on spending. Look, as you know, I'm the only speaker to have helped balance the budget for 4 years in the last century. So I have some notion of how you do this. This is the first step. It's not the last step. It's an important first step. It creates economic growth, which if the Congressional Budget Office wasn't a bastion of idiotic left-wing thinking, by itself, the economic growth would virtually pay for the bill. It has a substantial cut in domestic spending in a very large way. It reforms Medicaid in a very positive way. And I think, you know, Musk probably ought to get a briefing on the real bill rather than his personality feelings.
Another take on it, though, from the conservative treehouse to offer another, yet on the other hand, the conservative treehouse guy said he was predicting this for a while. Now, let me start out by saying, and I think you agree with me on this, I think we disagree with Sundance's analysis of all of this. He, well, partially, he has never really liked Elon Musk. And
no,
he's
he didn't like anybody.
Yeah, and he's been suspicious of Elon Musk and then Peter Thiel, who helped Elon Musk get Twitter, right? Who was like the guy behind J.D. Vance, a lot of the money behind J.D. Vance, who owns himself giant tech companies. The conservative treehouse has said, that, and I do agree with this part, the big battle that is going to be going on in the tech industry and the political industry and the lobbying industry is over AI and AI research grants, AI government contracts, all of that, right? And that the and doesn't Peter Thiel own Palantir or something like that? Okay, so what you've got are some of these high tech people positioning themselves for favors, really, and you know, I guess being looked kindly upon by the Trump administration. And should, you know, after Trump is gone, then J.D. Vance. And he's just saying that he thinks this is good that Trump has broken so publicly and so substantially with that Musk has broken with Trump because he thinks it hurts what he says is going to be a whole giant government surveillance. My thoughts on that are
government, yeah, really?
That's
like any of us
sailed,
like
I think.
Any of us
I
think
it's right. It's bad to have this degree of AI government surveillance, but I think it's too late. It's kind of like saying, you know, don't let your kid, you know, look at their cell phone, look at TikTok videos or YouTube videos. That only goes so far, right? It's out there, and it's something that you have to learn to live with, and they have to learn to live with to try to say. I mean, it probably would be good if we didn't have AI surveillance, but on the other hand, we do. And I think that the treehouses think that like we need this will hurt that. I don't think is true. So
well, Bill O'Reilly was on. He was talking about Christina Amanpour and how she said she brought a burner phone to come to the United States. He said that's ridiculous. You know, NSA and all the other ones may be monitoring Al Qaeda, but they aren't. Monitoring, you know, people like Christina. Bullshit. They're monitoring everybody, every time, everything.
Right.
I mean, yeah, bring a burner phone, because I don't, you know, I don't believe the government is not doing, you know.
Well,
the government is, and to the extent it's controlled by the deep state, whoever controls it, this behemoth, No, you can't trust the government isn't surveilling on you. Luckily, what we have going for us is they don't care.
Until, I mean, it was clearly when we got kicked off of YouTube a few years ago, that was an
No,
algorithm.
that's true. They do care enough to kick us off of YouTube for basically saying the governor says infants shouldn't wear COVID masks. I mean,
Which now we
that's got
know.
to get back to them saying, come
But
on, come on.
it's the surveillance, and I think some of it is, I mean, it's a fact of life. I mean, all you have to do is, I mean, 2 years ago I Googled swimsuits, right? Looking for a swimsuit. And to this day, every time I go on Facebook, what comes up are swimsuit ads, right? Now I never, it's like, so somewhere in there that's all kind of mixed around together. And is somebody evil doing that? No. But I think this the thing is how easy would it be for them to start putting in little subliminal things that I don't quite,
Well, they already do,
well, they,
sure.
yes, but I mean, yeah, you're right. They do that with shot because you look at it, you're like, oh, I didn't know I needed that. And I didn't even realize it till
Yeah,
J. Jill
geez.
sent me that email.
Yeah.
I had no idea I needed that.
That's
Yeah,
wonderful.
Charlene.
I say something?
Sure.
I'm just trying to benefit. I'm just trying to figure out how Trump or Elon would benefit from this pretend fight. That makes me think it's not a pretend fight. But I was just looking, Bannon is saying that he must takes nationalized Starlink, from Elon Musk. So anyway, I was reading on Grok. Starlink is operated by SpaceX as a satellite internet service that has been crucial for Ukraine during the ongoing conflict. They have relied on drones for surveillance and combat, and Starlink's role as enabling these operations has been significant. So, it seems like they're pushing that whole thing. I'm going to shut down Starlink. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe they're both trying to prevent World War III.
It could be, I think I hadn't thought of that, Charlene. That could be, and again, as I said in the beginning, I think it could possibly have to do with the budget bill, that if you're a senator and you've been spouting off because you just don't like Trump, but right now they've kind of, in a PR way, manufactured the fight, not between Trump and establishment Republicans, but between Trump and Musk. So if you're an establishment Republican, your high road now is to go with Elon Musk, right? I mean,
Right.
nobody.
I mean that helps Trump, but I mean
Right, that's what I'm saying, that they
but
coordinated.
why would Elon play that game? Because
Why
he
not?
really
Because he wants to help him get it passed. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
he wants to
Oh,
get
you
rid of the
think
EV credits.
he oh you
well
think Elon wants to help get the big beautiful bill passed?
well I think that there might be something in
Chile's going
that.
down some strange rabbit holes lately.
It. I think if you're Elon Musk, you've got a lot bigger fish to fry than EV mandates. You've got SpaceX, you've got AI, you've got all this other stuff. And it's like, he's like, I mean, that I, Charlene, I guess I admit, I don't know. I'm just.
Oh, no, I mean, I understand. It seems so pretend, but then I'm thinking, how does it benefit if they pretend? It doesn't benefit Trump because it just gives Rand Paul and Thomas Massie and all them and a lot of influencers more
But then
ammunition.
it looks like, though, but then this is just, playing the devil's advocate, but then it makes it look like they're that Rand Paul and Thomas Massie are being influenced by Elon Musk, right? And he's crazier than Donald Trump. And so I'm just wondering if it's a kind of thing that there
So
might.
that's going to cause everyone else to vote for the bill, you're saying?
Yes,
Okay, I see what
because
you're saying.
they framed the battle differently.
I understand, but why would Elon play that game?
Well, because there might be something in another something that works
Oh,
for
okay.
him.
Because see, it seems to me like his heart was set on all these cuts being implemented, and that didn't happen. So it seems like he
Well,
really
they're
was.
about to vote for it next week.
Separate one,
They're
though.
going to vote for it next week.
Yeah.
I mean, politically speaking, if they don't pass some sort of bill, even if it's this usual piece of crap that's all they ever do, the Democrats will just run out the clock to the midterms and all the way through. They have to get some kind of bill passed and hopefully get some good stuff in it. That's the stench of the bill is no worse than the stench of every other bill that has gone through the Yeah. Do the thing. I mean,
and then it could shut down the government if they don't get one passed.
Oh God, wouldn't we all
benefit all of us, really?
Yes.
Well, and if you're Trump, I mean, I think Newt said it pretty well. I mean, you know, Elon Musk and his concerns about like 27 on Trump's list of stuff. I think Elon Musk is like the billionaire, head of his own company, and I don't think particularly cares what other people, you know, say or don't say about what he's doing. Donald Trump, though, is a politician and kind of a sales guy, right? So he's got to, whether he likes it or not, pay attention to the Senate. He can't just,
yeah,
you know what
I
mean?
You know, I think Trump was like, he doesn't like this bill at all, but he knows that's all he's going to get from this bought off Congress, you know, that's controlled by the globalists. And so he wants to get it out of the way and go on to other things, you know, stopping World War III. So I think he's trying to turn it. He knows it's a loss for the American people, but he's trying to turn that loss into a win, make it sound like it's a win by calling it a big, beautiful bill.
Right.
You know, when it's just an omnibus bill like it's always been. Right. And so it's got everything crammed into it. So I'm just, you know, I always say, like Karen Catalan, you know, who benefits from this? And it's like, how does Elon benefit from a pretend fight? And how does Trump benefit from a pretend fight? And then, but I'm thinking maybe they're thinking, how do the American people and how does the world benefit from this little pretend fight?
Yeah, I mean, so, that's even being more idealistic.
It could
than,
be
but
something
I think
about something else, not even related to the, you know, the bill. You know what I mean?
That would be my guess. You know, like I said, Trump needs to get this bill through. He needs a Senate behind him. He needs a Senate to play ball a little bit more than they are on Ukraine. And I think everything's a negotiation. I mean, I think it's a weird way to do it, but Kathy has a point. She said everything in politics is performative. I also think, to substantiate my fake thing, I think, you know, Trump likes wrestling, right? I think these are two guys who I think maybe kind of get a kick out of it to a certain extent.
This whole thing's a homoerotic performance play or something. I mean,
it sounds like it's a
romance. You're really going wild on this.
It's like a bromance gone bad, right? I mean, because they're so personal with each other. That's why it sounds so artificial.
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Julie.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you. So, yeah, we'll see. In the meantime, it has kind of, Kathy says, exactly, Charlene, just keeping the lights on so he can do his agenda. I think it has quieted down today. It'll quiet down later. I don't know if we'll see them. It's a good thing they already had Elon's big farewell dinner. You know,
well, it wasn't a week ago there in the office, and Elon and him were complimenting each other.
Even though Captain America knew how Iron Man's parents died and played a role in that, and it was awful when Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., who reminds me an awful lot of Elon Musk, when he found out, in the end, in order to save the world, they worked together again. So I just, you know, I don't know.
Thank God we have that encouraging son in. We always have that as a standard bearer that'll lead us to the greener pastures.
That I don't know that Elon Musk will ever be, you know, wandering around the White House again. The one thing I don't buy, there's been a lot of stuff out there about Elon Musk and drug use, right? And I think somebody planted that, because obviously the New York Post, New York Times, everybody's doing all these stories about Elon Musk as, you know, all the drug addict. I just don't see how a guy could get as much done as he gets done on a consistent basis if he's a drug addict. In my experience,
drug addicts,
well, apparently everything, ketamine, psychedelics.
Ketamine is what killed
Matthew Perry
and stuff. So you don't want too much of that.
No, and so, you know,
I don't care what he takes.
Well,
go ahead and take ketamine. I mean,
I think that's a hit. I just think if you're a drug addict, you can, you know, maybe fake it for a little while, but
you have to fake it. If there's enough uppers in it and stuff, you can go for a while eventually.
Eventually
have a huge crash.
Yeah. And so I just don't see Elon Musk having a serious drug issue. Well, they're just saying that's why his behavior is so erratic. I don't know. Elon Musk has always been. Oh, and Kathy says WWF is the first thing I thought of too, the wrestling thing. Well, we'll see. I think Newt Gingrich had it right. It'll calm down. They'll both realize, even if maybe, Charlene, you know, the question is to who benefits, but also who loses. And at a certain point, If it's not fake, then both of them realize, okay, we both, I mean, Tesla stock
Do you remember
plummeted.
a time when the president would sort of hide his real self? I mean, Kennedy would not be talking about how he's backing
Who
everything.
even knew?
Well, he didn't know, but all of them, so they could give the facade. Well, oh, he's president of the United States. These guys are just going, hey.
Well, and I'm sure this one thing I am sure of, I bet both of them are getting a kick out of the fact that no one is really sure whether it's fake or real. And they do have
They
us,
probably don't know
they have
fake.
us all bamboozled to the point of where like they might be playing 4D or whatever they call it, chess, right? This might be, they might be being really, really super smart as opposed to being grade school boys tussling in the playground.
I'd always bet on fourth grade schoolboys.
Yeah, there you go. Something else I wanted to, and feel free if you guys want to comment or call, we can go back to the Elon Musk thing because it is so interesting. One other thing I wanted to talk about, so the guy, the Maryland father that the court said Trump couldn't deport, I think this was smart in the Trump administration because El Salvador could have just kept him and said, we're not bringing him back, right? But what the Trump people did, so they brought him back and now they're indicting him on sex trafficking, human trafficking. I mean, he's facing the rest of his life now in prison. So
Life
I
better
think
than being El Salvador prison.
it is, but I think what the Trump people and the Democrats are saying, a win. I'm like, I don't know, a win for who exactly. I mean, if you're the guy, you're like kind of screwed either way, and I bet the Democrats abandon him now. But I think that was smart of Trump to just be like, okay, fine, we'll bring him back, we'll charge him, we'll throw him in prison here forever, and then we'll deport him, okay? As long as he's off the street. But back to the Colorado case, we were talking earlier that an idiotic judge said that the family who's here illegally can't be deported. Right. And then did you see the USA Today? They had to backtrack. They did a story about his daughter who was going to go to medical school and all of her dreams total. And they're portraying her as this like, she's the victim somehow. No mention of the Jewish people who her dad tried to kill. Right. He
Oh
just
no.
long
Well,
like.
they have kids too, and so they won't be able to take their daughter to get rid of some of the competition.
Like it's and so USA Today like took a lot of flack. They backtracked it, but the judge said the family can't be deported. And Colorado's attorney general, who wants to be your governor, Phil Weiser,
Who is Jewish?
who is Jewish, is saying, well, maybe the family has a legitimate asylum
Everybody
complaint.
has an asylum claim, do
They don't have an asylum. They were on vacation,
you? Vacation.
And I'm saying, we need asylum.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, and here's this Mike O'Donnell, if you're on X, follow him if you don't, because he ran for Secretary of State and he does a great job coming out with like nuggets
Yes,
of
yes.
information from
Isn't
voter rolls and things like
he? Yeah.
this. And this kind of explains it all. So he was saying
And where did he say this?
on Twitter, on X,
Okay.
a guy by the name of Christian Yabiri, an illegal immigrant, was arrested and deported by ICE in 2008. Yet he is still registered as an active Democrat voter in Colorado and has been since 2005. Every election, this guy, who was deported in 2008, and three former and long gone owners of the property he was renting in Cortez get ballots. So this guy, Christian Yabiri, an illegal immigrant, right, who was deported from Colorado in 2008, has not lived at this address in Cortez since 2008, gets a ballot mailed to him and three other people who haven't lived there either in that time. And somehow those ballots are getting cast, right? That's why the Democrats.
We'll have Phil Weiser look right into that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And if you think that's an isolated incident, not even close, right? I mean, I think that happens. Well, Jenna Griswold sent what, 40,000 notices to illegal immigrants reminding them to vote.
Come
So somehow they have addresses for 40,000 people, many of whom might be like this Christian DeBerg. I haven't lived over there,
on. It's the gold standard, Julie.
but somebody's voting. That's why they hate the Mike Lindell trial. That's why they hate Tina Peters. That's why they hate the expose on the Arapahoe County vote cast thing in the property tax election. And that's why they hate the idea of deporting people, right? Because they need them all to keep getting their ballots. Now, again, there's a whole difference
Well,
between a ballot being mailed and a ballot
apparently
being
they will
cast.
keep on getting their ballots.
But
So there's no problem.
yeah, exactly. And that's a whole thing. That's the Democrat
Has he
scheme.
actually shown the ballots were voted?
Well, he's listed as an active voter.
But that doesn't.
I think they you stay registered, but you don't stay an active voter if you didn't vote in the last election, is my
Well,
understanding of
they
it.
have a record if they voted or not. And that's maintained whether you voted or not.
Yes, I don't know. He didn't say that.
Okay.
He implied. He said he's still getting a ballot. He's still listed as an active, and he registered as a Democrat, of course. So now the fact that he's illegal and can't vote, it's like, never mind that. But that's how the Democrats control Colorado's election system, right? It's like you've got a guy who hasn't been in this country since 2008. And if he is in this country, he's certainly not living at that address. And he's still here illegally again. So if somehow or another he's getting other ballots, he still shouldn't be voting.
I'm a little surprised he didn't run it down whether he voted or not.
My impression is that he is voting. That's when you read the whole Twitter thread. That's the impression he gives, is that he's voting.
It's not an impression, it should be clear.
Okay. One more time, I'll say it. My understanding is that you're an active voter.
But there are lots of reasons that will make you an active voter, and so it isn't just that alone.
Okay.
You should have indicated he voted in the last election, or he didn't vote.
Okay, from Charlene, O'Donnell ran for Secretary of State, split the conservative vote from Tina Peters in the primary. Still don't understand why he threw his hat in the ring after Tina declared.
Good point.
We had Mike O'Donnell on the show then, and you could, I think he was more of an independent kind of guy. I got a feeling that he didn't care, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That he wanted to run for Secretary of State and didn't really care that he would split the vote.
Right.
But I go back to my point, though, is this is why Democrats run, right? And this is why Democrats win. And this is why the Republicans, Republicans fret about their messaging, and they fret about getting the right candidate, and we need Rhino candidates, et cetera, the big tent. You don't ever hear the Democrats talking about that. You just hear the Democrats harvesting ballots from people who have been deported, 15 years ago or something like that, almost 20 years ago. Because the Democrats are like, Susan Beckman famously said, the Democrats could get a dog elected. Candidates don't matter to the Democrats. What matters is ballot harvesting.
It only matters to Republicans who think they've got better candidates. All these people who are getting their ballot harvesting will say, oh, well, this is a good candidate.
Yeah, well, they don't even know, right? It's like Christian Yabiri, who was deported in 2008 and still gets a ballot mailed to a home he doesn't live at Cortez anymore. He's not saying, I don't know, that Republican candidate's just a little too
very
conservative
good,
me for no.
A very good candidate. For the
see the ballot. These ballots go
very
place.
I think I'll...
And it's like, and I don't know, I mean, we've talked about this numerous times on the show, that is a difficult fight to fight, because either you need to cheat, like they do, or you need to change the election laws. And in order to do that,
you have to cheat.
You have to cheat to get yourself elected to change the election laws. So
you get so used to cheating that you'll...
Right. And then you get so used to cheating, and then you get better at it. You're like, well, let's just leave us in place. So don't be fooled, though, even by the new Republican leadership. They're doing all this training and they're doing all this and that. You notice you don't ever hear Democrats talk about training candidates. You hear Democrats talk about harvesting ballots. That's what Democrats talk about. That's what Democrats care about. That's where Democrats put their money. You could be the best trained candidate. You could be, I don't know, the most milquetoast candidate. But when you have to beat the tens of thousands of ballots that the Democrats harvest, they're screwed, I guess, which is why you notice there are like 800 people now running for Gabe Evans' seat on the Democrat side in CD8. Only Gabe Evans. You've got about four Democrats now running for Attorney General. No Republicans yet. Scott Bottoms has entered and I guess Mark Baisley, the governor's race. Michael Bennett, he's just going to win. So.
He's announcing himself. He's glad to announce that he's won.
And then he'll appoint his Senate replacement, who will be a Democrat forever. So that's how it works. So not to be depressing, it's Party Friday. I'll stop talking about that. The Lindell trial, it's tough to follow because they can't, at least from outside, because Ash Epp, and if you follow her on X, Ash in America, she's doing a great job, but you can only do it during breaks and she has to go out of the courthouse. Sounds like, I think the trial is supposed to wrap up Monday.
It's ahead till next Friday.
Maybe, but They had Joe Altman was on the stand. Joe Altman is the one who originally said he heard Eric Coomer, the Dominion guy, on this Antifa call, blah, 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 that Mike Lindell was talking about. What is interesting, what we talked about is, you know, the fake news media was trying to pretend that there wasn't going to be any evidence about rigged elections and voting machines and things like that. And there has been quite a bit about that. They don't want to report on it. At all, you know, they just want to report on making Mike Lindell look stupid, and saying, you know, oh, you know, Mike Lindell is breaking the law and stuff. The judge told Mike Lindell, quit tweeting from the courtroom. You're not supposed to do that. And Mike said, okay. Joe Altman was called, interestingly, by the plaintiffs, not by Mike Lindell.
No, Mike, I wouldn't call.
Yeah, Mike Lindell, I think, and Joe Altman have split. I think initially they were, you know, in business together, not so much anymore. In fact, apparently during the testimony, it came out that one of them is suing the other. I think Altman is suing Lindell.
Okay.
But at any rate, that's going on. I got a sense that what they're kind of trying to do is I think Mike might be up on the stand. I mean, the defense might get to open its case. And I think they're trying to have witnesses so they don't have Mike testify on a Friday afternoon. And court stuff, a lot of times, you don't like to leave. You want to finish a witness, right? You don't want to have Mike Lindell do a portion of his testimony on Friday and then go home and then have to come back on Monday, right?
If you think it's a good witness, that's right.
And so what's the thinking there? Just, you don't want to...
Well, one gives the other side a chance to see what the answers are and load up more for bear. The jury will forget what he's saying and it loses a lot of its impact if it's good by splitting it up because you don't get a full straight run at it. So there's a lot of good reasons not to want, if you're a key witness, to have his testimony split apart.
Yeah. Well, and we'll see. I don't know. It's really hard, I have to say, not being in the courtroom, you know, having any sense at all.
Now, we've gone to lunch with Joe Altman, and he's a very interesting guy and stuff, but I'm not sure he makes the best witness. His claim that he was on an Antifa call and somebody identified him.
Well, as I understand
Eric,
that...
And Eric, he looked up, and that must mean Eric Coomer, and therefore he went after Eric Coomer. But he can't tell you anybody else on the call, and, you know, certainly it's been alleged, and you know, seems to have some...
The plaintiffs are alleging that he just made it up.
Just simply made it up.
Which I don't buy. That seems like a...
That's totally possible. I'm not saying it's true, but it's totally possible. And he said, well, I was on this phone call, you know. And Joe has been known to have... go off on interesting tangents. If I was them... You know, hindsight is everything, but I wouldn't say, oh, yeah, well.
Well, but here, and here's how it ties in, because Mike Lindell is saying that's what where he heard it, right? That he didn't know it. And so I guess there, if you're the, I still understand. I mean, Mike Lindell, his lawyers are not trying to argue that, you know, Joe Altman was right or wrong. In fact, they didn't even want Joe Altman to testify. They're just saying, this is what Mike thought. This is what Mike believed. And you know, and it's so Joe Altman isn't on trial.
You have to understand what the test is. If you're a public figure, and they apparently got it, so the Coomer was made a public figure, which was huge for them in this trial. Then you have to show that he knew it was false, or he had a feckless disregard for the truth or falsity of it, and. So you come down, should he have relied on
Joe Altman,
and that will be that's not the most fun position to be in.
No, and Charlene, I can't believe anything the plaintiffs allege. So we'll keep you posted as best we can, because it is hard. I mean, the media cover, I mean, Kyle Clark just keeps doing nasty stuff on it. And the corp mainstream media is kind of, I would say Colorado politics has been fairly straightforward, but they are not getting into any of the evidence about the machines and how the machines work or don't work and symposiums that have been held and things like that. They're not getting into that, right? Which is to be expected. They're not, it's sort of like, that's just a lie. Just like the Russia hoax, just like the Hunter laptop thing. So we'll see on the end.
Well, but you have to understand, it isn't Dominion that's suing.
No, it's Eric Coomer.
Well, so let's say the machines were crooked, but Eric Coomer had nothing to do with it. Then
But I think, though, if you are conservatives, right, and concerned about election integrity, you are glad that information is being presented in court talking about how gold standard or not gold standard it is, right? Because you don't get very many opportunities to talk about that in a forum.
Getting no publicity.
But exactly. So the mainstream media is saying, okay, well, fine, they get to talk about it in court, but we certainly are not going to talk about it here in our coverage. We're just going to make at Nine News. No, we're just going to call Mike an election denier, right? So, you know, and
this, you know, you either get your sources from one or two sources, yeah, the truthful, honest one, which we're part of,
which us,
or you get it from the left wing. But people don't tend to want to hear the other side. I must admit, I love watching NBC and everything else.
Who hasn't even talked about the Karine Jean-Pierre book,
no,
by the way?
but so, you know, the people I talk to who are on the other side of the deal, you're going, oh, well, this is terrible, and it's going this way. And I think people are on the right side, no, it's going pretty well.
We can't tell. Well, and from Charlene, and this is true, Coomer and his gang scared everybody off, didn't they? Brave people going up against this cabal. That is absolutely true. Charlene says, if anybody says anything against Dominion or Coomer, they get sued. Oh, Peter Boyles to this day talks about it, right?
Yeah.
He was like, I dare you to say Eric Coomer on the air. It's like, Eric Coomer, you know, right. Because, and that was part of their thing. They want to slap everybody down. And it was effective. I mean, Eric Coomer, and that's my other question. Who's paying for Eric Coomer? Has like a million lawyers, right? Who's paying for all of his lawyers, you know? George Soros, maybe? Because that's what they did. They filed lawsuits against anybody and everybody. And remember, it was a little bit of a different time back then. You were banned on Twitter. You couldn't put on Facebook. You got kicked off of YouTube. Any of that, right? I mean, you were, you know, Lawfare came after you if you were a lawyer who tried to represent
sure.
these people.
Still,
they still do. So,
John Eastman.
Yeah, exactly. Breaking news from Kathy. The Supreme Court allows DOJ to access Social Security data. The bromance continues. So,
well,
yeah.
I mean, what DOJ is the government. And the government can't see its own information or has to keep it in a silo? I mean, give me a break.
It just depends on which goofy. Somebody was saying Trump resigns a presidency, appoints himself a federal judge in some obscure district, resigns from being the president and has a lot more power now.
Right.
Maybe that's what he could do. He just appoint himself, create a whole new district in Washington, D.C., appoint himself and be the judge. Could you do that? I wonder, could you be the president and the judge at the same time? I wonder if there's anything prohibiting.
I'm not sure it's ever been tested, but there's probably some rule against holding more than one office, federal office.
Okay, could be. Okay, so did you want to talk about a little bit about the end of the Anschutz Empire? Or we've only got about 5 minutes, but or do you want to save that for?
Well, I think it looks more like 10 minutes. I just read, and if you know, John Caldera has been writing, said that, gosh, everybody, and this is on College Politics, who's become a left-wing site in a lot of ways, gosh, everybody, what we really need to do if we want to save our state is go to jungle primaries.
Yeah.
Because I, as a conservative, know. And then he, and his line of thought is as follows. He views it that out in the rural districts, if you had a jungle primary, you'd get two Republicans. So, you know, you wouldn't really have much, but you could choose between two. In urban districts, you'd be like in Denver and stuff, you'd get two Democrats. But, and this is the big but, and this is where he says he's going to, you know, we're going to take back the state. Outside in these swing districts, there were one of them, Adams County and Arapahoe County and Jefferson County and so forth. There are a lot of people who don't like either party. He calls them, you know, freedom unaffiliated or FUs.
That's kind of clever.
Yeah.
John
well,
Caldera
he's always clever. And the FUs don't like either party. So this is going to create this huge chance of people who really are rhino Republicans. They're nice on social issues. They don't want to have no bail. They're pro law enforcement and some other things. But they won't have an R by their name because, as he has said, if you have an R by your name, it is like having a swastika. And you kind of go,
Ooh,
wow.
That didn't seem to bother Trump at all.
No, this is in Colorado. And he says, particularly among the most heinous group you've ever heard of, suburban women. Because women in the suburb, and particularly the single moms who have a lot to be bitter about, they hate Republicans. They just froth at the mouth when you say the word Republican. Now, you kind of wonder, if that's true of suburban women in Colorado, why isn't it true of suburban women in Pennsylvania? Why isn't it true of suburban women
to my ballot harvesting
all these
again.
Other places? But they hate it so much. But would get rid of that because they would just no,
have
not
have
an
R. Primary.
They'd be part of the FU crowd, and so they would be elected. And then they'd caucus with Republicans because they're really Rhino Republicans, but they don't have to do with the stigma. And then we would control the House and the Senate. Now, the fact that jungle primaries had not that effect in California, Alaska, anywhere else, people still pay attention to what their party affiliation is and vote accordingly. But what John isn't telling is that what this would greatly benefit his benefactor, which is Phil Anschutz. Phil Anschutz wants open primaries, and he's got God, what's his name? Who did the last paid for everything for the last one?
Oh, Kent Theory.
Kent Theory, and Kent Theory. John is urging Kent Theory. He says, Kent Theory, you must put it back in that.
People don't like it. Well, yeah, because here's
but here's why, because if all you have are a bunch of names, the only one that matters is whoever has the money to do all the advertising.
Right.
Because you won't have any other opportunity to get him. You'll never get to see him talk. You'll never. All it is all the money guys will pick out candidates, and that's what you'll choose from because there's no offsetting.
Right.
There is no party anymore. There's just rich guys, rich billionaires.
Rich guys picking two or three guys that they could all work together with. And,
yeah.
they want, and I mean, that's a thing that the people like John Caldera, well, and John Caldera is only writing that because Phil Anschutz wants him to. Because if you're a rich guy, if you could just get rid of these primaries and these pesky Ron Hanks candidates and Scott Bottoms and stuff like that, well, they wouldn't even make it on the ballot.
Well, they have the jungle primaries, so the top two would get it.
Well, and the thing that they leave out is they want to impose Patrick Smith's plan too, which is it's going to cost you $40,000 literally to even get on the ballot in the first place, right?
And Phil would have to co-sign.
Right. And so,
it is the most, you know, anti-democratic thing I've ever heard. But he, you know, happily put it out in call of politics. We need Kent Theory. You say, well, let's have...
In 2024, the Independence Institute and John Caldera did not, so they went from being against it to in 2024 taking no position.
No, they're
no position. And now they're for it, right? That's a little scoochying, wouldn't you say? He neglects, I mean, I like John Caldera, and he's a great writer, but he neglects to mention that his thinking has evolved along this way because the guy who's paying him has evolved along this way. Because as you said, the main person are people who will benefit from
the main person.
Yeah, from in Colorado, jungle primaries are the rich guys because
very rich.
The richest guy wins. Always. We talk about
the guy with the most money because
but
there
the,
won't
yeah, the guy
be
with
any
the most
assemblies.
Money. Exactly.
There won't be any debates among the thing. There won't be anything else. They'll just be
the richest guy.
The richest, there'll be no parties because the parties will be irrelevant.
Most well-funded candidate
yeah.
wins. And I mean, we talked about that when Dave Williams ran, right? He was outspent by Americans for Prosperity and Jeff Crank 10 to 1. And so I looked back and in election history, I mean, you know, Lauren Boebert was an outlier, but originally, but almost always, I mean, like 99.9% of the time when you have that much of a disparity between people that are spending, the person who spends the most money wins, which means...
Well, not just as much, but 60-40 and stuff, you know, it can not matter. It can be other ones, but when it's 10 to 1,
right.
you just can't get your message out.
Right. And so that's why these rich guys are going to start pushing slowly, and then it's going to escalate jungle primaries in Colorado. And I'm sure we'll see it on the ballot again, because that way they don't have to worry about the Scott Bottoms. Like I said, they don't have to worry. Even Heidi Gnall would have been a threat to them, right?
Yes.
All they have to worry about is finding their candidate who will do whatever they say.
And the rest of us can all get fucked. I mean, that's basically the
I'm so much
downside.
different from that in the Democrats.
So John Cadera, you know, red meat conservative, as he describes himself, is just a pink chicken for Democrats. And you say, well, we won't add the rank voting this time. Oh, okay. Well, that'll make it much better.
That's why they want it. So don't buy any of that.
Well, it also results in the other thing, because they've decided that they've given up on the democratic process. You know, just look at all the things that now, you know, the Colorado Springs Gazette is behind a paywall. The Denver Gazette is behind a paywall.
Colorado Peak Politics hasn't been updated since April.
Colorado
Peak
Politics.
But Colorado is pushing ballot initiatives.
Yeah, so. And so it's he's an Independence Institute. So it has all but closed
the party.
Doors.
Yeah, the parties are.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the only people fighting over the Republican Party are you know, the little people like us. You know, I mean, the big guys are going to scare that.
They're smoking cigars and sipping brandy somewhere else.
Screw you, stupid people.
Hey, that's depressing.
That's it for Party Friday.
Hey, that will do it for us today. Thank you to the great guys at VBS, everybody on Zoom.
Enjoy a great weekend.